Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, still alive and kicking, cough and symptom-free. Lend me your ear without fear of contracting the coronavirus. But with all due seriousness, there's such thing as being wise. There's such thing as being prepared. There's such thing as, taking a few precautions. And then there's whatever this is. And whatever this is very different than just taking precautions. Reminds me a lot of people, carrying flat screen TVs in floodwaters back some years ago. That's as much sense as it makes today, because apparently everyone is out of toilet paper now. At least in the cities and states where the coronavirus has been detected. Actually, there have been 3 confirmed cases very close to here in Waukesha County. We are in Dodge County, Wisconsin. So this will get worse before it gets better. However, it's not an existential issue. The human race is not going to die off from the coronavirus. All right. The mortality rate is very, very small, especially for younger, healthy-ish people. Now, if you're 87 and morbidly obese, be thankful that you survived this long, is the best I can say. It's not nice to think about. It's not nice to put in those terms. But it is affecting the elderly. It is affecting those that have health concerns or health issues. And so if you're a healthy, rational, reasonable human being, there's no reason for you to go buy 750 rolls of toilet paper. Buy 750 rolls of toilet paper. There should probably be a list that you should have of things to purchase before said toilet paper. But I have a theory as to how this whole thing started. I think someone was at a Costco, and they noticed somebody was buying large toilet paper. That person, maybe working for a hotel conglomerate, and they were running out of tissue in every room. So they noticed that person buying, a cart full of toilet tissue. Then they think to themselves, hey, if he's doing it, maybe I should be smart and do it too. And so it developed a chain reaction that to this time has not abated. Because I went to the store this morning to buy bananas for my children. Yes, bananas. Or bananas, as you would call them. They ran out. The 2-year-old really likes bananas. So Daddy went outside at 6:30-ish in the a.m. and braved the somewhat cold to go and get bananas for the little girl. And I took a stroll through the supermarket, just because I wanted to see how things were feeling at the moment. And the only thing they were short on, the only holes in the shelves, if you were the toilet tissue aisle. They've got plenty of beans. They've got plenty of tuna. They've got plenty of rice. They've got plenty of canned non-perishables. But apparently someone told everyone that the thing to have in a crisis, even if it's largely a manufactured crisis, is toilet tissue. So I'm sure I could muster up a few rolls if anybody wants to trade a Beamer or a house. Get in touch. We'll make the deal. I'll gladly give you my rolls for your Beamer. But look, we need to take everything reasonably, logically, without allowing ourselves, let's put it that way, without allowing ourselves to give in to fear. Because fear, in most hearts and minds, births panic. And when you have, you know, even half of 360 million people panicked out of their minds, making a run on, you know, Costco, CVS, and Walgreens, that's when you'll have shortages. Look, we're not anywhere near a post-apocalyptic wasteland here. I'm sorry. If those of you hoping for it, praying for it, desiring to see it, we're thinking this was it, this isn't it. We're not post-nuclear, post-apocalyptic. We may be inconvenienced a little bit, especially those that had travel plans or wanted to go on vacation or whatnot. You may get something that is akin to the flu, perhaps, because there are a lot of people that you thought were smart enough to protect themselves and wash their hands, you know, and not lick their fingers that are coming down with it. Most notably, Tom Hanks and his betrothed. But for the most part, as every doctor and scientist and person that is dealing with this firsthand is quick to tell you, for 97% of the population, it'll be something akin to the flu. Most people won't even become symptomatic. They won't notice that they have it, even though they do. To some, everything's a conspiracy. To some, everything is, you know, puppets and shadows and strings being pulled. But you can't contain this and assume that it's a conspiracy theory, because it's spread worldwide. Now, there is something to be said for the fact that the mortality rate in Italy, and we were talking about this earlier today in the office, seems to be a lot higher than in China. Perhaps there's a lot of older Italians. Perhaps it has something to do with the genetic makeup of the individuals who contracted. That time will tell. I don't know. And it's okay to say I don't know in times such as these, because there's a lot of things I don't know. One thing I do know is that panicking won't help. Being fearful won't help. Emptying out the store shelves of toilet tissue won't help. Yes, be wise, be prudent. Get a few can of beans. Get a couple bags of rice. You know, things that you can eat later if McDonald's stays open. Now, if I owned a supermarket or a supermarket chain, I would already be putting up signs in the window saying no returns on toilet tissue or hand sanitizer. And we get past the peak of this, and we will, because we have to. Again, not an existential thing. It's not going to take out the entire planet. So eventually, now, I don't know how much you want to believe the Chinese. I don't know how much you want to trust the Chinese. But the Chinese are saying that they've already peaked. So as far as people that are contracting the virus, they've reached their peak and they've started the downward curve. If that is true, well, we're about 3-4 weeks behind. So we're still going to see an uptick in cases in the U.S., but likely not as many as in China, because, well, you know, we kind of wash our hands. We don't eat bats and we don't eat dog straight from the street vendor here. Hygiene plays a big role, I believe. I think if you're prudent and just take the necessary steps and, you know, wash them dirty hands, for the most part, we should you know, weather this better than other nations. Now, there's nothing that the administration could have done that would have pacified everyone. Last night, the president addressed the nation, and a moratorium on flights from Europe has been foretold beginning next Friday. So President Trump, in an address to the nation Wednesday night, promised to deliver the most aggressive and comprehensive effort to combat a virus in modern history. Why? Because if this thing spreads, and they're going to try to hang it around his neck, as they always do. Now, these are the same people who were against any sort of border security. They were against any sort of lockdown at the border. They were against any travel restrictions until they realized, uh-oh, our staffers are getting sick. Roly-poly Jerry Nadler wanted to take off and go find the nearest bunker full of Twinkies. But Nancy Pelosi, having lived her life and seeing as, you know, she has her deal with the devil that is probably sealed in blood and bodily fluids, said, no, Jerry, no, we're not going anywhere. So now, you know, Jerry's on his thumb because that's what, you know, scared people do. Now, as far as... sorry, I got distracted. There's a lot of places I want to go today, and I know that this is probably the last thing some of you want to hear. There's no happy talk, though. What? It's gloomy outside, even. It's all cloudy and gloomy. The only happy talk that I can give you is that God is still on the throne. He's still in control. He still loves his children. And... this present life, in case you were unaware, breaks. Gino, what's that music that keeps coming through, man? Anyway, this present life has a 100% mortality rate. So, yeah. I know, some people are scared of dying even in their 80s and their 90s. Well, if you're pushing 100 and you're still scared of dying, then you should have made your peace with God a lot sooner. But it's not too late. As long as you have breath, do it now. Yes, I know. Jesus rose from the dead. So technically, 100%. Elisha was carried up in a chariot of fire. But it's close enough to 100% where we can round up. Let's agree to that. So nobody gets out of life alive. It's part of the human existence. It's part of being that was placed on this earth temporarily. And if we are temporal beings, if we are temporary in nature, if this flesh returns to the earth from whence it came at some point or another, then why do we fret so? I mean, one of the funny read was that all these churches that are known for faith healing have stopped holding service because of coronavirus. I think one of them was Bethel, if I'm not mistaken. And I checked. This is not The Onion. It's not the Babylon Bee. This was actually true. They canceled services for healing coronavirus. So, you know, the world is packed with irony, children. The world is packed with irony. Personally, because I've had people go, what are you doing? I did go and buy some diapers at Costco. No, I didn't buy 3,000 pairs of diapers or 3,000 diapers because they don't come in pairs. It's just single units. So, no, I didn't buy 3,000 diapers. I bought a box of diapers. Now, at Costco, a box of diapers is 150 diapers. You know, adopt a few kids at some point in the future and use up the rest of the diapers after our daughter turns, you know, 18. Because that 150 diapers is a lot of diapers. Because now she asks to go potty. So she's semi-potty trained. The only time we put on diapers is at night. I know too much information for those of you without children, but for those of you with children, you were scratching your head going, what are you 150 diapers is too many. That should last a week and a half. Well, no, it's just one diaper at night, so she doesn't have to wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. So that was my preparation. I also bought 3 cans of beans because I'm planning on making some chili. But it wasn't to keep for late. It was just to make some chili. Now, of course, there's stuff in the cupboard. There's stuff in the pantry. But, you know, that's stuff that we're probably going to give away to somebody at some point, because if we haven't eaten it in 6 months, I mean, it's sitting there. But, you know, I'd have to be pretty hungry to eat tomato paste. So, again, I'm not seeing empty store shelves in America's future anytime soon. The only things that will be lacking, the only things there's a shortage of, are things that people are panicking about, like Purell. And again, let's take a step back. Breathe a little bit. Have a cup of chamomile tea. Stay away from the coffee. You're on edge already. You don't need the coffee. If you're panicking, frightened, angry, whatever it is you're going through that's spiking your adrenaline and your emotional, stay away from the caffeine. Have a cup of chamomile tea and put on some Kenny G. That's always a good recipe, but only after you've said your prayers and spent time with the Lord so that He gives you the peace that is rightly yours. Come on, let's not blow this out of proportion. Back to the Purell and the toilet paper. We're buying this stuff out of stores as though somebody bombed the Purell factory or somebody burnt down the toilet paper factory. As long as there are trees, there will be toilet tissue. I guarantee you Purell's working double shifts trying to put more stuff on the shelves because they got a nice profit margin and apparently people are crazy enough to just keep buying it. This is not post-apocalyptic hellscape. I'm going to keep repeating this fact. All the factories haven't shut down. Manufacturing hasn't collapsed and every factory has been gutted. Sure, they were taken a little bit by surprise, because who would have thunk it? Everybody going and buying Purell all at once. But you know what? Guaranteed, they ramped up production. And sooner than you could say, $2.95 for a 12-ounce bottle, there will be Purell on the shelves again. And guess what? If that wasn't enough, day late and a dollar short, but hey, they're trying. The state of New York has announced that it was going to make its prisoners make hand sanitizer. I kid you not. I saw this story yesterday, and I reminded myself to talk about it because it's just sad and pathetic, and I don't know what else to call it. But yes, Governor Cuomo announced that the state of New York was going into the hand sanitizer business because apparently Purell's doing so good. They thought, hey, this is amazing. Now, the catch, the thing that you must know, the thing that will set apart the hand sanitizer made by lifers in New York State prisons from, you know, Purell and the such, is that their hand sanitizer will be 75% alcohol rather than 70. So you get 5% extra alcohol for the same price. It would be, a stick in the mud. But somehow I get the feeling that the people who put out Purell did enough due diligence to sort of figure out that after a certain percentage of alcohol, especially sensitive, children's skin tends to burn from excess of alcohol. So my reckoning, doing the math, as it were, is that if Purell says it's only 70% alcohol base, there's a reason for it. Now, Governor Cuomo, being from the Cuomo family, you know, all sophisticates and Ivy League graduates, wise beyond their age and geniuses, Rhodes Scholars and such, decided, hey, let's pump it up just a little bit. So they made it 75% alcohol by volume or some such to combat the spread of the coronavirus. Now, I wonder if it's the penal system or the state of New York that people are going to start suing once their hands start to burn and blister. If you're on the internet with any regularity, you've probably seen not just the memes, but the links to which people go out of fear. Again, just to clarify, chamomile tea in hand, this is not Ebola. If it was Ebola, yes, you'd have a reason to lock yourself in your basement and eat through your bucket of potatoes au gratin, compliments of Jim Baker Ministries. Sorry, Jimmy Swaggart's on a whole nother kick. Compliments of Jim Baker Ministries. By the way, we talked about it. A couple of states are now suing Jim Baker for false claims regarding the ability to cure coronavirus with his salty bathwater. So he may be in a wee bit of trouble. Now, if you're trying to separate the elderly, the infirm, and let's just say the intellectually average from their hard-earned money by telling them if they order your bathwater, they'll be cured, or it's preventative, you deserve to have state and local officialities look into your business practices. By the same token, there are like two people that are very vocal about anything I say, I've been told. Somebody emailed me. And to that I say, if you dislike the things I say, request a refund. Oh, wait, it's free. Ha! So, tis me time. I have no sponsors. I'm not trying to sell you magic underwear or magic bathwater. So if you do not like the content, feel free to go to another YouTube channel or another radio station and give them a listen. Now, they cannot guarantee that they're corona-free, so if you do lend them your ear, make sure you're wearing protection. We need to smile again. We need to laugh a little bit. Because if this drags out for a few months, you're going to have 360 million people with cabin fever, short fuses, pretty much curb stomping anyone that sneezes at an inappropriate time because they're afraid they'll catch it, even though that person didn't have anything. Maybe they're just allergic to your cat hair. So we need to relax. We need to calm down. By all means, take the necessary precautions, but again, underline the word necessary. If you feel you need to, sure, stock up on 30 days of food. But again, Hormel's still chugging along, kids. So's Purell. So's, whoever makes the most quilted toilet paper. I don't know, somebody. The one with the teddy bear on it. My kids like the teddy bear. We just need to take a breath. Because if this scaring us out of our wits, if this is scaring us out of our minds, if this is causing us to get into fist fights with strangers over toilet tissue, just imagine when something truly cataclysmic happens. Just imagine when something truly cataclysmic takes place. Because it's inevitable that something will. the Bible doesn't lie. The Word of God tells us about the last days and that there will be earthquakes in various places, wars and rumors of wars, and yes, pestilences, which this can be defined as a pestilence. But apparently they don't read the whole verse through, because at the end of all the things that we're going to see and experience, Jesus says, but the end is not yet. And this is what I'm trying to get across. This is what I'm trying to get people to understand and stop panicking about. The end is not yet. Guess what? You're going to see a lot worse if the Lord tarries and if you're still alive. But if this causes us to freak out to such an extent, imagine how men will act and how men will be and how men will react when truly cataclysmic events begin to take place. I, for one, choose not to live in fear. I can't. Because there's a lot of people that are probably going to expire from anxiety and panic long before they get the first hachu from coronavirus. Because I've seen the look in some people's eye, and it's troublesome. I've seen the same look in animals' eyes when they know they're cornered and they've got no way out. That look of sheer terror and panic. Over this? Honestly, over this? Look, even if you take the numbers at face value, you have better odds of winning the lottery than you do contracting the coronavirus, here in Wisconsin and America. Three people out of the state have been confirmed. Now, will it grow? Most likely. Because those people have been in contact with other people. But again, use caution, be wise. But the worst thing you can do is panic. The worst thing you can do is act like the rest of the world is acting. Act like the godless are acting. Because the latest thing I saw was that all the rich and powerful are jetting off to their bunkers. So the thing of it is, though, when true cataclysmic things begin to unfold, they will happen with such speed that the rich and powerful won't have time to go and curl up in their bunkers. Because that would mean that the rich and powerful by their own device would be exempt from the hardship that has come upon the world. And God doesn't play that game. So keep your head. Make wise decisions. If you've already got 45 rolls of toilet paper at home, just say, I've got enough. Because you know what? Charmin's still making it, and the trucks are still rolling along. You can't shut down the entire nation. Now, again, you may be inconvenienced, especially if you're overseas and you're trying to get back home. Yes, that may than it used to be when you just showed somebody a boarding pass and a passport, got on a flight, and came back to the old U.S. of A. But if these are the birth pangs, as some say, these are just the beginning of the beginning. These are like the first contractions. For those of you that have wives who've had babies, you remember timing your contractions? Yeah, this is just the first in the regular interval of contractions. They're not close enough apart for you to go to the doctor yet. They're not close enough apart for you to even put your overnight bag in the car and start. You've got a while, kid. So if you freak out now, if you lose your mind now over something that causes flu-like symptoms and is dangerous for people, over a certain age, that certain age being 80, with pre-existing health conditions and whatnot, then I promise you, come the future, you will not fare well. Come the future, you'll probably die of anxiety and fear rather than anything having to do with the actual events themselves. And to be fair, there is a passage in the Bible that says, then the time will come when men's hearts will fail them for fear of what is to come. Just think on that. It's not for fear of what they're seeing or living or experiencing. It's of the potentiality of something happening at some point in the future that will make their hearts stop in their chest. So let's get to a few stories of what is happening, because although I did not mention it, this is a recorded program, but so fresh that you know that what I'm talking about is on the headlines, or in the headlines, depending on how you like to say it. So we all heard that the administration has announced that they are taking the most aggressive and comprehensive efforts to combat a virus in modern history. Again, for some, it won't be enough because nothing will. For some, it'll be an overreaction because you can't just say, balanced. Maybe the delivery wasn't all there. Maybe some things weren't clarified as they ought to have been. But overall, okay. No, it's one thing or another. It can't just be in the middle anymore. To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. So if you had travel plans, or you were going to go see, Roma, because flights are cheap, just know that for the next 30 days, it may be difficult for you to get back, or at least you might have to get screened, or I'm sure that the details will follow. However, he made an exception for the UK, and exemptions will also be made for American travelers who have undergone screening. The new travel ban will go into effect late Friday night at midnight. In his address, the president said that trade would also be subject to the suspension. So if you are a fan of feta cheese made in Greece, you should stock up. If you are a fan of Turkish delight, you should stock up. Anything that is made in Europe that you consume with frequency, perhaps, you know, leave the toilet tissue where it is and go collect those things, because those things will also be subject to inspection. Dates, figs, things that you know come from the Middle East or Europe, those things will likely experience a shortage. In his address, the president indicated that trade would also be subject to suspension. Again, not delay, but suspension. So for 30 days, no Turkish delight for you. These prohibitions will not only apply to the tremendous amount of trade and cargo, but various other things as we get approval, he said. However, after his speech, he clarified by tweet that it's very important for all countries and businesses to know that trade will in no way be affected by the 30-day restriction on travel from Europe. The restriction stops people, not goods. And again, that's where the confusion is sort of layered, because the tweet implies something that his speech did not. Mr. Trump accused the EU of not taking the precautions the U.S. had taken to prevent the spread of coronavirus from China. The European Union failed to take the same precautions and restrict travel from China and other hotspots. Now, parenthesis, not only did they not restrict travel from China, They called this administration bigoted and xenophobic for doing it. For a nation of, 360-odd million people, the cases reported thus far in the U.S. are small in comparison to something like, let's say, Italy. Now, there was that first bloom, I guess you'd call it, in the old folks' home in Seattle. And there seemed to be some cases in New York and also Florida, but not anywhere near the amount you're seeing in places like Italy. And I guarantee you that that's going to spread because Iran is not even releasing information anymore. The Middle East, anywhere where there's no running water and people think soap is a luxury, it's going to wreak havoc. Because this thing does transmit quite easily. It remains on surfaces for a substantial amount of time. And so if you're not used to washing your hands, or if you think water's only for drinking, then yeah, you're going to get it and you're going to spread it. So this is why the Iranians don't know what to do with themselves. This is why the Middle East is going to get decimated. And this is why in a country of 360 million people, you have just a handful of folks that have, diagnosed. Now, it will grow. It will increase because of the incubation period, because those people came in contact with other people. It will grow. How much? God only knows. But again, this is not a planet killer. The human race is not in danger of non-existence. And everybody brings up, the Spanish flu or, the plague. Well, that, again, a large part of that had to do with lack of hygiene. This is why Iran, Pakistan, Lord forbid, if it spreads to India, you're going to have a lot of cases because washing hands is, I guess, a luxury. So let's continue here. Mr. Trump said that the European Union failed to take the same precautions and restrict travel from China and other hotspots. And as a result, large number of new clusters in the United States were seeded by travel. But he did not explain why he made an exception for the UK, which has had 6 coronavirus deaths so far and has 373 cases. Diagnosed among them, the health minister. The president also announced that he was instructing the Small Business Administration to provide capital and liquidity in the form of low-interest loans to help small businesses. He said he would also use emergency authority to allow some individuals to defer tax payments, which he estimated would provide $200 billion in additional liquidity. So basically, look, I think the concern that the administration has, and right now the concern that is shared by a lot of governments in the world, is that a lot more damage will be done to economies, to businesses, and to national infrastructure as far as acquisitions and such goes, than by the virus itself. And this has a lot to do with the fact that whatever news outlet you turn to, it's being ginned up. These people are beating the drum of end of the world with more fervor than any apocalyptic preacher ever has. And they're giddy about it because they think that their side, somehow people will embrace the man with the denture problem known as Joe Biden to lead them to new horizons and hopes, if they can just make people panic enough. And I've heard the conspiracy theories, so please don't. I've read them already. And the reason I reject the idea that this is a false flag created by the Democrats is because it's a global pandemic. It's not just in the U.S. Sometimes we need to take a step back and, you know, fine, they're, you know, they're on the wrong side of it, but they're not to blame for absolutely everything either. So, no, I don't believe the Democrats created the pandemic to get Trump out of office. Because if this would have been man-engineered, as it were, they would have released it about 4 months from now. See, this thing is going to burn itself out long before the next elections. It's going to be something in our rear view come November. It's going to be something in our rear view come June, July, I'm guessing. If the Chinese reports are right and this thing has already peaked and started to, you know, nosedive, give it another 6 weeks. We'll be back to watching basketball and eating hot dogs. So it was too soon. Maybe they couldn't help themselves, but I doubt it. I don't believe this is a conspiracy theory because this will all be in the rear view. And again, we chair quarterback the reaction to it, how quickly the government responded and everything. It's not perfect, but, and however, if you're old enough to remember called the Schweinflu, do you remember the Schweinflu? What, 60 million people got the Schweinflu in America, and I don't know how many hundreds of thousands died from it. If you compare that administration's response to this administration's response, there really is no comparison. I mean, these people have been on the ball, including Mike Pence. And they're doing everything they can to mitigate it. And basically cutting off travel from Europe for 30 days is one of the things they're doing to mitigate it, because they understand that given the fact that it has peaked already in China and the cases started declining, within a 30-day gap, it's going to be largely forgotten. It's going to be either people are going to learn to deal with having flu-like symptoms, or it will have run its course. Summer is coming, and 30 days, it seems, is all they think they need. Now, beyond the measures that he announced, Mr. Americans to take common sense precautions. For all Americans, it is essential that everyone take extra precautions and practice good hygiene. Well, there you go. You know, lava los manos, as they would say in California. That means wash them dirty, dirty hands. We are at a critical time in the fight against the virus, Mr. Trump said in an address that was meant to calm Americans. Earlier Wednesday, he said in a tweet, he was fully prepared to use the full power of the federal government to deal with our current challenge of the coronavirus. Now, what Italy did, which is basically quarantine the entire country, some have said is a prelude or a test run to see how malleable the average citizen is. For some reason, they think that because the Italian citizenry submitted, the American citizenry will do likewise, so all they needed to do was a test run for Italy. Again, Italy and America are very different countries. Italians are very different people. You can't do a test run in Italy to see how malleable a citizenry is and say, hey, the Americans are going to be equally malleable. No. So although, you know, for those that live within the atmosphere of conspiracy theory 24/7, it makes sense, but I don't think that's it either. I think that, okay, and again, coronavirus is not something new. This strain of the coronavirus is something new. The coronavirus has been around for quite some time. When they give vaccinations to cows and pigs, they have something against the coronavirus in there because it's a virus that has been around some time. The issue is that it's mutated again. So this is what, COVID-19. So the 19th reinvention of the virus. And other than being very transmissible and spending an inordinate amount of time on surfaces if they're not disinfected, it attacks basically the bronchial tubes, it attacks the lungs like the flu does. And again, if the Lord tarries and my heart doesn't give out, I realize that at some point I too may be 80. And at 80, it might not seem as though, you know, I've lived that long. However, look, it's only reasonable that the mortality rate be higher among those pushing 100 years old because they're more susceptible to everything else. You know, a broken bone that might take somebody in their 36 weeks to heal might take 3 months for somebody in their 80s to heal. You know, a common cold that you know, someone would drink a gallon of orange juice and be okay over might sideline someone in their 80s for a month. Because, you know, this husk that it is has an expiration date. And when you're pushing 80, 90, even 100, it starts to fall apart quite easily. Now, they did say that there was one lady in China, 103 years old, and she recovered from the coronavirus. So it's by no means a death sentence. I understand. Again, I get back to this because I need to reinforce this idea. I understand concern. I understand being apprehensive. I understand avoiding large crowds. I understand doing a little shopping so you don't have to go to the store every couple of days. What I don't understand is panic. Even if you are in your 70s and 80s, I don't understand the panic. As unless you can substitute Purell for panic, still as likely to get it without panicking as you would have been by panicking. Do you understand where I'm coming from? So my hope, we rediscover our peace. My hope is that we rediscover our joy in Christ. My hope is that we rediscover our place within the kingdom of God. Because once we do that, then we will realize there's nothing to fear. Quick on the heels of the president announcing 30-day travel ban from Europe, the European Union came out and said they disapprove. Brussels, angry that Trump acted on coronavirus without their permission. I'm sorry, I did not know we were supposed to ask the permission of the European Union about a sovereign country doing what a sovereign country wants to do. Just saying. But apparently, the Europeans haven't gotten the memo that the Turks just sort of... they're going to hurt. The Europe's going to be hurting for a long time. We talked about this either last week or the week before, where Erdogan basically opened the borders and allowed thousands upon thousands of migrants to flood Europe. And that hasn't ended. It's just gotten violent. It will probably get more violent still, but somehow the European Commission has found time to say that they disapprove of President Donald Trump's decision to protect his citizens from further foreign exposure to coronavirus by banning entry from most of the bloc's countries without having consulted with Brussels first. That is the beauty of being a sovereign nation, of not being in a union of states. We are the United States of America. an independent sovereign nation that can say via its commander-in-chief, nay, nay, please do not bring your infected upon our shores. Please keep them there. Keep them in Brussels. Let them infect you. So yes, the European Commission is very, very angry. They are disapproving of the fact that we don't want more of our citizens to get sick. President Trump announced the 30-day ban on Wednesday, which will go into effect on Friday. We've talked about this. The ban is limited to mainland Europe, specifically the countries in the visa-free travel area known as the Schengen Zone. The Schengen Zone, well known to me, is France, Germany, Sweden. I believe Italy is also Schengen, and France. The UK and Ireland are not part of Schengen, and so they're not affected. Non-Schengen countries like Croatia and Romania. Thank you. Thank you very much. See, all the Romanians, why aren't we in Schengen yet? Well, now be happy you're not. Because all of the Schengen countries have been put into the same pot. Us being non-Schengen, us being Romanians, because I'm Romanian. So, you know, I'm partial. But yes, non-Schengen countries like Croatia and Romania are not affected by the travel ban. Non-EU countries on the continent, like Serbia and Ukraine, are likewise not affected. So, Madam Prime Minister, who was it? Merkel. Yes, Madam Merkel said the other day she expects up to 70% of Germans to contract the coronavirus. Now, if 70 out of 100 are expected to contract the coronavirus, why wouldn't we shut our borders and say, nah, we're not taking the chance? Because there's a potential that if a flight of 240 people comes over, at least 150 are infected, or up to 150 are infected, we would rather not. So please stay in Germany and consume your Bratwurst. And guten Tag, as the saying goes. So yes, Romania, not part of it, because we're not Schengen. See, we were despised for so long. There had to be an upside to being so despised. Now, again, as always, are starting to panic when they hear about the travel ban because they don't take the time to, you know, read beyond the headline. So all they read was travel ban from Europe. Well, not necessarily. Depends where you are in Europe. And it doesn't apply to American citizens either. So if you are an American, yes, you will get screened if you have a fever, if you're coughing, you know, all those things that are associated with the coronavirus. You may be quarantined for a while and tested to see if you have it. But would you rather they let you on the plane and you come in and infect 30, 40, 50 people? See, they're trying to mitigate it. They're trying to minimize the infection radius. Because they realized that a lot of the pockets of infection had to do with people who flew over from places like Europe. Now, there's a lot of things being bandied about. They're discussing something like suspending tax collection, you know, to ward off a slump in the Dow. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. For now, as will be the case tomorrow, as will be the day after, as will be the case until he returns in the clouds. Jesus is King. He is on the throne. He is in control. So, God's will be done. Now, if we know that he is in control, we know that he is on the throne. What have we done? Why are we so readily pushed into panic mode when we know what our God is capable of, when we know what our God can do? Now, yes, it's sad to see churches canceling healing services because of coronavirus. But not every church is the church. And my hope and prayer is that I am speaking to the church tonight. Be strong. Be wise. Be prudent. But most of all, be at peace. Because our God reigns. And he will continue to reign long after this virus and the ones coming after are forgotten or remembered fondly because of what we will be living through. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you for coming on. If some of you, you know, you're stuck in your homes, what else were you going to do anyway? But seriously, thank you. Thank you for your prayers. May God bless you. May God keep you. May you be at peace through this temporary storm. And until next week, be wise. Just be wise. Gino, that's all I got. If you got anything to say, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm just reading about churches suspending their faith healing hospital visits, citing the virus. And that's exactly why we label things and we don't live by the labels that we create. You know, faith is what? Substance of things not hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if we say we have a faith healing room, we better have it even when deadly things happen. And it shows you a bit of hypocrisy because Jesus didn't walk away from the lepers. He engaged them, healed them. The problem is we don't have the power that we tell others we should have or do have. And that's exactly why people question what we say as believers. You know, you'll know the tree by its fruit. And I just look at these articles and it's just sad that when we need healing and we need the power of God and we need people to go into places and bring that power, they recant or they shut it down. Now, I do understand there's wisdom in handling things effectively. Don't get me wrong. But if the church cannot be looked at as a source of God's power, then where do people look? That's my question. And so, you know, I would tell you if you need prayer, call Hand to Help, 920-206-9910, and we'll pray for you no matter what you have. Because we do believe God is a healer and God has the power. And I go into jails and prisons. I'm sure there's stuff going on there with illnesses and that. But you know what? I'm not afraid because God's with us. And if God's with us, nothing can come against us. It says this in Psalms 91. In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge and fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's what we choose to believe. Not that there won't be pestilence, not that there won't be disease, but if we say we have God's power and the Holy Spirit's power, we walk towards the battle. We don't walk away from it. Thank you so much for listening to the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If
you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all